many doers of the word that we have in this place today? Not just hearers. All right? And he goes on to say right here, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that beholding his face in the natural glass or in a mirror, and he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh, notice this, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word, and continues therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, we have to be a hearer first. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to hear the word first. Mm-hmm. But then once we hear the word, we need to analyze within on the inside of us, okay, how can I put that into practice? How can I do what the word of God has to say? There's a lot of hearers of the word of God in the body of Christ, but there's not a lot of doers. And every time I read the word, I have to decide within me. I said, Keith, Pastor Keith, Brother Keith, I'm going to be a doer of this. When I read something, I'm going to practice that. I'm going to do that because it says that it's the doers of the word that are blessed, not just the hearers. Are you with me now? So for every action, there is a reaction. When you do the word of God, and we're going to look at one area in particular today. The Lord showed me something this week, and we're going to talk about this. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified translation. Do you know that's the woman's translation? It's a little bit more wordy. You know, I'm just kidding. Amen. Did I open a can of worms here? Okay. Takes men 3 seconds to say something. Takes women 3.5 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm just playing with you here. But we are a doer of the word of God, not just a hearer of the word of God. Pastor, just pray for me that I'll be blessed today. Pray for me that I'll be blessed. All right, I'll do that. Father, I pray that they will become a doer of the word of God in Jesus' name. Wait a minute, I asked you to bless me. Well, the Bible says when you do the word of God, you're blessed. Okay? So in other words, you act on the word of God just as if Jesus appeared to you in this room and gave you a scripture. What if Jesus appeared to you in this room and he quoted to you something out of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19? And he looked at you and he says, my word says that I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, Philippians 4:19, right? And then he disappears. And then all of a sudden you're like, Jesus appeared today in church. And by the way, he is here right now. Okay? Just because you can't see him. Now there may come a time in our services where you might see an angel. Okay? You might see Jesus. That has happened and can happen and will happen. Amen? We don't look for that to happen, but it can happen. All right? And but if Jesus did that, if he appeared and he said, that quoted to you a scripture, all of a sudden you'd be like, wow, I don't have to worry about anything. My God's going to take care of me. He's going to supply all my needs. Amen? Well, the Bible says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter said, I was on the mountain of transfiguration. Amen. When he saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus and God the Father speak, we were on that mount. He says, but we have a more sure word of foundation, a prophecy, and that is the word of God. And the word of God is more powerful than an angel appearing to you and telling you the same thing. Brother, give me a word from God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Amen. Well, that's we get busy doing that word. That's going to keep us free, isn't it?
Amen.
So it says that in verse 25, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So again, it's not the hearers of the word only that are blessed. It's the doers, practicers of the word of God, doing what the word of God says. Now, Matthew chapter 6, I had you turn there. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified here. In verse 25, we saw this last week, but in the King James translation, But let's talk about this aspect of tapping into the grace of God, and that is becoming a doer of the Word of God. Becoming a doer of the Word of God. Now, Jesus said in 25, He says, "Therefore I say, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink or your body, what you shall put on, is not life greater in quality of than food, and the body far above, more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air," verse 26. "They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much worth more than they?" Verse 27. "And who of you by worrying," notice that, "by worrying and being anxious can add one cubit or measure to his stature or span of life?" Another translation says, if you worry, is it going to make you grow an inch? No. No. Amen. "And why should you be anxious?" Verse 28. "Why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, they thoroughly how they grow, and they toil, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I say that Solomon in all of his magnificence, excellence, dignity, grace, was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. And so if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive and green, and tomorrow is cast, tossed into the furnace, will He not much more surely clothe you, O of you little faith?" And verse 31 says, "Therefore," I love this, "do not worry or be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to have to wear? For after these things, the Gentiles, the heathen, wish and crave and diligently seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them all." Now here's the clincher right here in verse 33. Most of you know this scripture. You've read it before, I'm sure. "But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, the kingdom of God, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and all these things taken together will be given to you besides." Now, as we look into this portion of Scripture we saw last week, the essence of this whole few verses that we just shared right here, Jesus is talking specifically about not worrying, not being anxious, not being a worrywart. You know what that means, right? Listen, I came from a home of, my mother was a world champion worrier. If there was an Olympics for it, she would have got the gold. Now, she's not that way now because she got a hold of God. Amen. Okay? Amen. And she made Jesus her Lord, her Savior, at an older age, of course, but needless to say, that began to change. Amen? But worry and fear was part of her DNA, so to speak. She grew up that way. Her mother was like that. Her grandmother was like that, you know. And so that was passed down to her. Now, a few years later, here I come. 1960, I'm born, okay? And children don't know how to worry. They don't. They don't know how to fear. It's a learned behavior. All right? And so by observation, just being a part of the family growing up, you know, I would see them, and especially my mother, in situations, how she would react. And she would be afraid, frightened about certain things and so forth and so on. She was afraid of water. Okay? Now, don't make fun of me, but I became afraid of water. All right? I didn't take a bath till I was 13 years old. I'm just kidding. No, but my mother was deathly afraid of putting her head under the water. And so, now maybe you're different. Maybe you learn how to swim at 1 year old. Just dove off the diving board, went right in, and there you go. Well, see, she was deathly afraid of water. Her mother was afraid of water. Her grandmother was afraid of water. She was afraid of water. That fear was transmitted to me, and I had to break that fear. And I was probably 12 years old before I learned how to swim in the deep end, okay? But it was through fear and trembling because she kept instilling, you're going to drown, you could drown, da, 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 you know. But listen, there's a right way to do things, you see? Now, I'm not making fun of her. We still talk about it to this day, you know? But the fact of the matter is that fear was a learned behavior. I learned how to be afraid, and I had to confront those fears in order to overcome them. Mm-hmm. Think about it for a minute. What is it in your life that brings fear to you? Now, I remember my grandfather on my mother's side. He got colon cancer, and I was in high school when this happened, junior high school when this happened. And so we would go over there and take care of him, you know, and I would see him. And I'd never experienced this before. I never saw it happen before. But I watched him, you know, go from a healthy grandfather type figure, you know, where he lost his weight and he got down to just you know, skin hanging off bones. That's what he looked like, you know. And he passed away. All right. Now, when I watched that happen as a young man, as a teenager, watching this happen, just by observation, watching this, the thought came to me that that was going to happen to me. Okay? At that time in my life, I didn't know that that was the devil. I didn't know it. Because my idea of the devil was, you know, like the cartoon, you know, a red suit, horns, pitchfork. You know what I'm saying? Almost like something that's not really real. But I had this thought that came to me that that's going to happen to you. And all of a sudden, I didn't talk about this. I didn't speak to anybody about it. But I saw it with my eyes. I heard it with my ears. I watched it happen. Went to the funeral. Saw him in the casket, you know. And the devil was there to sit on my shoulder and lie to me. And my thinking said that that is going to happen to you. Are you with me now? All right. And so that's something I didn't discuss with people. I didn't talk about it, you know. But yet, you know, as I became 17, 18, 19, 20, that thought was still there. That thought was still there. Now, Satan is the one that put that thought in my mind. All right. Now, here we are. Let's fast forward a few years later. And I'm 20 years old, 21 years old. I got involved. I was saved, of course, even back in those days. But I got involved in a church like this that was teaching the Word of God, the Word of faith, the Word of God. In fact, that's where I met my wife. We met in church. We didn't meet in Joe's Bar and Grill. We met in church. Okay. What a great place to meet somebody. Amen. Seeking the will of God. Amen. And I'm in church, and the pastor started teaching on divine healing, divine health, how that healing belongs to us. It's part of our redemption. Amen. It's part of the price that Jesus paid for us. You know, he bore our sins in 1 Peter 2:24, and he took our sicknesses. Amen. You know, and he's reading all these scriptures that were so enlightening to me. I had never seen them in that light before. I was like, and I couldn't understand how people could sit in that chair, that pew, and look bored. I'm like, what? I felt like slapping and say, what is wrong with you? Do you see what that guy just said? Do you see that's in the Word of God? That's the truth.
Yeah, good. That's good.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Somebody else will sit there. Give me a piece of gum. Now, this is before cell phones. They probably would have been texting when, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's a bad place to text when you're in church.
Yeah.
Amen? Because you could miss something God's trying to talk to you about. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
It couldn't be that important. You can wait till after church.
Amen.
The text. Amen. Discipline yourself to do that.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. Well, here the Bible says the entrance of God's word gives light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not like this kind of a light. It's spiritual light. The entrance of God's word gives light. So here I am. I'm in church, 21 years old, and I'm hearing the pastor teach on divine healing. And I'm like, this is the best news that I've heard. Now, here's what I noticed is that fear that was there all those few years watching my grandfather die, all of a sudden that fear was exposed by the light of God's word. And I began to realize, wait a minute here. That was the devil that lied to me.
Yeah.
Because the devil will have you looking at other folks, and people can fall. The Bible says 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. That's 11,000 right there. But it won't come near you. So the devil, he'll help you. He'll enable you to see other people that are failing and falling and so forth and so on, you know, even Christians. And he'll say, well, if that happened to them, that's going to happen to you. No, it's not. 1,000 will fall at your side, but 10,000 at your right hand. But it's not going to come near you. Amen? So I got fed up. Did you ever get fed up before? And I just said, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm tired of this fear kicking me around, because I grew up that way, fearful and afraid and timid. You know what I'm saying? But the Word of God was light to me, and I began to see that I don't have to suffer what He suffered. I don't have to go through what He went through. Now, if he would have known any different, he could have walked in it too. He could have got healed. The Bible says, Jesus said, if any man hears the word and sees it, he said, then he can be healed. If you can see it and you can hear it, you can receive healing in Matthew 13. So this fear was exposed, the fear of dying at a young age, or any age for that matter, was exposed when the light of the Word of God came on and said, my days of suffering are over. I was suffering in here, in my mind, that when the light of God's Word came, the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Yes.
The truth is the Word of God. And I'm telling you, when I found out what the Word of God says, I was like a dog on a bone, man. I would not let go. Are you with me now? And I sunk my spiritual teeth into that, and I said, I'm going for this. This belongs to me. Hallelujah. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is specifically talking about don't worry, don't be anxious, don't be fretful. Mm-hmm. How many of you here from time to time you've had a problem, time or two, with worry and fear in your life? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. Thoughts of fear and thoughts of doubt, thoughts of unbelief can come to, it will come to all of us. All right? But what do we do with those thoughts? Go over to Psalm 55. Here's where we're going to get into the meat of this here today, because, oh, there's some powerful things in here. I can't wait to get into this. In Psalm 55. Did you know that Christians are not to be governed by outward circumstances? We're not moved by the government. We're not moved by the economy. We're not moved by the news media. Who moves you? What moves you? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. But in Psalm 55, verse 22, it says this, and I believe this is, you'll see this pattern here today. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now notice this phrase here. Cast thy what?
Burden.
That weight, that burden. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And notice what will happen. He shall sustain thee. Now, as we open up the service today, we're talking about this key about being a doer of the Word of God, right? So it's the doers of the Word that are blessed, correct?
Yes.
Are you with me now? What about our cares? What about our anxieties? What about fears that come against us? We're to do something about those things. We're not to just sit back and go day after day, night after night, and go to bed full of fear and full of worry. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to worry about nothing. Okay? If you're a little kid, nothing. We're not to worry about nothing, okay? No thing, nothing. We're not to worry about anything. Now, this isn't a prophetic revelation or anything, but some of you came in here today full of anxiety and full of worry. Are you with me now? I'm not saying that because the Lord showed me that. I'm just saying that because that's just human nature, all right? Because we go through this thing called life, right? And there's things that happen during the week, and maybe something happened this week, maybe yesterday or the day before, something happened, right? So you start getting anxious about it. Maybe something happened in your family. Maybe something happened in your body. Maybe a doctor's report. Maybe a financial setback or something like that. And a concern about a family member. Anything. It could be anything like that. What it is, the devil tries to bring fear to you right now to get you to worrying about that, thinking about it, mulling it over in your mind. When in fact, that worry and that fear is not going to change anything. It's not going to change a blasted thing. All right? So what's our part in being a doer of the word? When fear and worry come against us, what do? We are to cast that burden upon the Lord. Then what's going to happen? He will sustain you. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, I've passed up some marvelous opportunities to worry and fear in the last several 30-some years. Marvelous opportunities. So what do you do, Brother Keith, when those things stack up and they pile up and those cares and anxieties try to come against you? I've learned how to cast it on the Lord. Are you with me now? Psalm 55, 22, cast thy what? Thy burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. In other words, He's going to take care of you. Hallelujah. Has anybody here ever done that before? Have you ever been worried about something that happened to you and you're like, Lord, now, this is tough, but I'm going to give this thing to you. And then you look back and you say, you know what? He took care of that thing. Amen. But the devil tried to paint a picture in your mind. This is going to, the worst thing possible is going to happen to you. But as you gave it to the Lord, He worked out that situation. Did He not? Amen. And I'm here to tell you right now, the same God that has delivered you before from other cares is going to deliver you again as you cast those burdens upon Him. We're not supposed to worry about our physical bodies. Now, we should do our best and take care of our temples. You know what I mean? But we're not to worry about it. We're not to worry about anything. Now, go over to the New Testament here in 1 Peter. I want to show you something here. In 1 Peter, 5th chapter. 1 Peter, 5th chapter. Brother, could you go over there and have him turn that volume down just a little bit there? Thanks. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, keep in mind what we just read in Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the what? The Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Okay, notice this verse. Pay very close attention to these verses right here, because there's something I want to show you right here that will really, really help you. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Whose responsibility is it to humble ourselves? God's or ours? Okay. So, if we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that's our part, being a doer. God will never humble you, or He would have to humiliate you. We have to humble ourselves. Now look at verse 6 again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you or lift you up in the proper time. All right? So our part in that is to humble ourselves. God's part is to exalt us in due time. Do you see that? Now, we can't do God's part, but we can do our part. And I want to submit this to you today, that there is a grace to do. God would not tell you to do something that you couldn't do, or He would be unjust. Mm-hmm. If He says, humble yourselves, and we can't do it, then we have a right to challenge His justice. Okay? But I want you to see, this is all one continuous thought right here. In chapter and verses, you know, breaks it apart here, but this was a letter. So let's look at it this way. Look, take the verses out. Let's just read it together. Humble yourselves, therefore, verse 6, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Notice this, casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So how do you, the primary way that you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Now listen very carefully here. On August the 9th, 2015, at 11:30, we'll get this right now. The primary way that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God is we cast every care upon Him. That's an act of humility. Okay? Now, how do I know that verse so well? Because the Lord showed me some things through the years, things that I was doing wrong. Because did you know that fear is a type of pride? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm afraid. I'm just afraid of this. That's actually pride. Now, we're so familiar with the cockiness of somebody that's prideful, you know what I mean? Kind of strutting their stuff, you know what I'm saying? We understand that. But there's a more subtle, the dangerous side to pride that we need to be aware of, and that is worry and fear. Because when you worry and you fear, you are actually telling God, you're not big enough to handle this. I got to take care of it. When the Lord showed me that, I felt like crying for a week. Because I thought, oh God, I've been rooted in pride here. Didn't even realize it. Because I would worry about everything. Okay? But I began to realize that when I'm afraid and I'm fearful and I'm worried about something, you know, and sometimes, you know, we've even said, you know, to your kids or grandkids, honey, I'm just worried about you, as if we care for them. You know, I'm just worried about you. When was the last time you ever worried somebody into the kingdom of God? When was the last time you ever worried your body to get healed? It doesn't happen. And we have to be careful because we say, I'm really concerned for you, honey. Okay? We have to be concerned in the sense that we don't think that slips over into the air of we're afraid for them. Now, Job is a prime example of that. We won't get into the meat of that right now. But in Job chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says that God says, the thing that I greatly fear has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of has come unto me. And Job opened up the door in his life through, and there's been a lot of doctrinal disputes over this thing, you know what I mean? People say, well, I feel like I'm just Job. Well, get ready to be blessed then, because everything God told in James, he says, consider the end of Job, not the beginning. And the Bible says God gave him back twice as much as he had. He didn't lose it all, and then that was it. God gave him twice as much as he had. But he opened up that door through an avenue called fear because he made sacrifices for his children. He said, it may be that my sons have cursed God in their hearts and backslidden and so forth, you know. So the Bible says Job would make sacrifices every day for his children, but he was doing it out of a spirit of fear. And because he was in fear, he was doing a good, noble thing, but he was doing it out of a spirit of fear. It opened up the door to the enemy to come into his life and bring destruction in his life. He said, the thing that I've greatly feared has come upon me, Job 3:25. I'll just take the opposite. The thing I greatly faithed has come upon me. Amen. Can fear open up the door to the enemy? You better believe it. All right? But we can also shut the door by faith and trust. Lord, I trust you today. I'm not going to be afraid today. Mm-hmm. Amen? If I'm getting on that airplane, I need to go somewhere, and the Lord's already told me to go there. I'm getting on that plane. In Jesus' name, I'm going to pass over to the other side. That plane's not coming down in the Indian Ocean or whatever. Or any ocean. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I get on there, put my head back and relax. We're going to the other side. Not going to worry about it. Not going to be afraid. Now again, in 1 Peter 5, he says, casting. Now, this word casting here is interesting because there's other areas in the New Testament where this same Greek word is used, you know. Mm-hmm. And when the fishermen were casting their nets, throwing out their nets. And also in another incident, when Jesus was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they said they cast their garments upon the donkeys that were there, okay, for him. They cast them on there. And this is not a passive word. It's more of a violent type of word. You know, I've done some surf fishing before. You know, we do that once in a while, my son and I, when we go to the beach. And, you know, you get that big heavy anchor on there. It's really interesting because it's totally different than lake fishing up here. And I'm telling you, it's a big spool of of line there, you know, and you cast that thing out. It's heavy. You throw that thing as hard as you can, and that thing just goes, boom, that's way out there. You know what I'm talking about? And this is exactly what we're to do with those cares and anxieties and worries that come to us. What are you going to do, brother, sister? What are you going to do? How's this going to work out? You cast that upon the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And when you do, He's going to take care of you. He's going to exalt you. Amen? A number of years ago, I know some of you heard this before, but this goes way back to 1984, 83, right around that time. Going into ministry, there are some things that we can do for tax write-off purposes for ministers and so forth and so on. And I had filled out some papers, you know, to do that. And long story short, I got a letter back from the IRS that said that I owed them, this is the shortened version of this, that I owed them like $9,000 plus, almost $10,000. Now, back in those days, that was like my year salary for the whole year. And someone said, if the devil can't scare you, the IRS will. And I get that official letter with the, you know, the insignia on the IRS, and all the everything was so professional, and I got this letter, and I said, and I didn't know what it was, but I opened this up. They said that I had made a mistake in the process, you know, and so forth, and that I had actually owed them almost $10,000, okay? Well, needless to say, that got my attention. And I was concerned about it. Then I began to worry about it. Now, I'd already been through Bible school, okay, and so forth. I'd already been in the ministry for a little while, you know. I was an assistant pastor at the time. Then we ended up moving to Texas in the process. We came from Pittsburgh, moved to Texas to work for a church down there. And this thing continued. And then they started compounding interest on top of that. I couldn't pay anything. Couldn't pay anything. And, I'm telling you, in the natural, I started to fret about this. I started to get concerned about this. I started developing, seemed to me like an ulcer. I started to, I couldn't hold food down very good, you know. It'd make me kind of, just lost my appetite, basically, you know. And began to worry about this and fret about this and, you know, and here I know better, but yet here I am. I'm worried about this thing. Amen? Now, don't look at me that way. You've probably done the same thing in certain ways, right? I knew better. I knew not to worry. I had sermons. I knew what to do to cast my cares on the Lord. But this thing seemed overwhelming to me. It really did. And I'm driving down one of the interstates in Killeen, Texas, where we were working at the time. And I was driving in my little red Chevette, Chevy Chevette, that they don't make anymore, thank God. I felt like Fred Flintstone in that thing, you know. Yabba dabba doo, amen. I mean, put your feet down and let's go, man, you know. And I'm driving down the interstate there, right, and I remember exactly where it happened, and the Lord spoke to me. Now, I didn't hear it with these ears. I heard it in here. I heard it in my spirit. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said this to me. He said, if you would see things from my vantage point, from my viewpoint, things wouldn't look so bad after all. And I pulled the car over on the side of the road. Cars are, you know, and I pulled over. I said, Lord, speak that to me again. He said, if you would see things from my viewpoint, or my vantage point, this thing would not concern you at all. Whew. And I knew what He was talking about. Because God knew what I was thinking about. He knew what was on my heart. And I thought, look at that. The Lord just spoke to my heart. Now, I had still had these thoughts coming against my head, my thinking, right? All these negative things coming against me. But yet, I had this inward witness, this inward voice, if you will. You know, not with these ears, like I said, just in here. Where you hear them that way, too. Sure. And the Lord said, there's no need to worry about that. It's all going to work out. If you saw it from my viewpoint, it wouldn't be so bad after all. Now, from that point, I had to become not just a hearer of that word, but a doer of that word. Now listen very carefully. This will help some of y'all in here today. If you saw things from heaven's viewpoint, you wouldn't worry about nothing. If you saw how he's going to work that thing out, you'd be like, let's go sip on some iced tea today. Are you with me now? And just relax. Have a good time. But you know what? I started to entertain that thought again. A worried thought about that. And the Lord kept bringing me back to that place. Now remember what I said to you. If you saw that thing from my vantage point, it wouldn't look so bad after all. Well, we were in Texas, what, 9 months? Something like that. A little bit longer than a year, I think it was. That thing's still going on. Nothing has changed yet. And then I'm still getting letters in the mail with interest. We moved back to Pennsylvania to at the leading of the Lord to start our first church, all right? We come back, and this is still going on. These letters are coming, all right? But I kept hashing over what God said to me. If you saw this thing from my viewpoint, and I had to keep saying, Lord, I cast this on you. I give it to you. Every time I'd think of it, every time I'd be driving down the road and that thought would enter my mind, I'd say, Lord, I'm giving that thing to you. And so I did, you know? And I wasn't losing any more sleep at night. You know, a lot of times we lose sleep at night because we're worrying about things, right? Well, if you're in faith, you don't have to worry about nothing. You can sleep like a little born baby at night. Amen? Mm-hmm. Not worry about things, right? The Bible says God neither sleeps nor slumbers, so neither should... Why should two of us be awake? Right? Amen? God doesn't need to sleep. Well, I got a letter. This is probably a little bit over a year after the initial time that God spoke to me and said, if you saw this thing from my viewpoint, it wouldn't look so bad after all. So a little over a year later, everybody say a little over a year, I got another IRS letter and I thought, oh, here we go again. Here's another letter. This time I opened up the letter and most of the time I didn't want to open the thing up. Did you ever get mail you didn't want to open? Just put that aside for right now. Are you with me now? And, I opened up the letter, and there was a long, fully typed letter, you know, and here the IRS had written, and they said that they, in their studying their records of what was our case, what was going on, that they had made a mistake, and that they had actually owed me money. Now, it was actually under $100, but... And I thought, amen. I almost pulled a Gomer Powell right there. I said, golly, man. Would you look at that? I said, God told me that over a year and a half, almost a year, a little over a year ago. He said, if you saw it from my viewpoint, you wouldn't be so worried about that. And here I was fretting about that, trying to figure that thing out. How's this going to work out? Well, God said, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Now, what should have taken place is when God told me that initially, I should have just wholeheartedly dove into that and said, you know what, Lord? You said it, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Well, I didn't do that. It took me a little process to get through that fear. And I wasn't even going to share this morning, you know? But now, my whole reason in sharing that is this, is that look at, you're in 1 Peter, right? You're still there. Verse 7 says, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now look at verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, notice this, as a roaring lion, he's not a lion, but as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, we want to paint the right picture here because you could read this. A casual reader could just read this and say, look at there. The devil's just gone. He's waiting up. He's waiting to pounce on someone. And you never know when your time is going to come. That's fear teaching. That's fear. Listen, the devil cannot just pounce on you. He cannot seek and devour you apart from you worrying. The whole picture here is if you cast your cares upon the Lord, then the devil is not going to devour you. God wants you to be carefree. And see, when I realized that, I even changed the type of gum I was chewing. Amen. carefree gum. Just kidding. I don't know if that still exists or not, but it's, you know. Is that the gum where they had the twins or something like that on that years ago? That was okay. Okay. Got the wrong one. That dates some of us, doesn't it? Brother, you must be 100 years old. Oh, my. But verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking. In other words, he's seeking someone to devour. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Oh, yeah. Resist him in the faith. So the only way that the enemy can devour you is through not casting your cares upon the Lord. Do you see that? Now, this word cast, again, is a violent word. It's not just, you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Cast. You know, like one of the outfielders at the ball game, when that ball's hit to them and someone's running into home base and they take that ball and they cast that thing, they throw that thing as far, as hard as they possibly can. That's exactly how we are to treat cares and worries and anxieties. Listen, I'm telling you, when you do this, when you cast your care upon the Lord, you might walk away. And that thought will still come to you. What are you going to do? How's this going to work out? Those thoughts will still come to you. Just ignore them. Okay? Laugh at them. Ha ha. Amen? You got some alarming news that just came up and you're really concerned about something. Learn how to laugh. Amen? The Bible says God sits on His throne and He laughs at the enemy. He sees His day approaching. Think about it. God the Father's up there in heaven. He's up there in heaven laughing. Some of you need to do that right now. You look too serious. You're not in jury duty. Amen? You're taking it way too serious. All right? Well, Pastor, this is a serious issue. God. And you got symptoms in your body. Pain in your body. By faith. Now, you may not feel like laughing. Nobody told the funny joke yet, but I mean, you can still laugh by faith. You can say, ha, 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 ha. Amen? And let me tell you something. The power, the sustaining power of God will go in operation. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'll close with this, but, you know, about 10 to 12 years ago, you know, and I say these as the Lord directs me, and you say, well, I've heard that before. That's okay. Amen? Peter said, though you know these things, I'll stir up your way, pure minds by way of remembrance again. You know what I mean? But it's the principles that help here. But I the story that my left wrist here, I had developed a tumor, a golf ball sized tumor on my wrist where this watch is, right here, right there. Make a long story short, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but it didn't get smaller, it got bigger. Now, there was no pain involved with it. Thank God there was no pain, but it was still there. It was big. All right? And it was like the Lord was saying to me, when are you going to do something about this? Now, listen, when you go to pray about something, the devil's always going to tell you, you don't have enough faith. You're not strong enough in faith. You might as well not even pray about that. He'll tell that to every one of you in this room. He'll say, you don't have what it takes. You don't have enough faith. The very fact that he told you that means you do.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
The very fact that the devil just lied to you is just the opposite. He's the liar and the father of lies.
Amen.
So I remember one day, long story short, I looked at that big thing on my wrist, you know, that big growth on my wrist, you know, and I said, all right, Lord, we're going to deal with this thing right now. I said, I cursed that thing in Jesus' name. I didn't say cuss. Curse. Okay? And I said, Jesus spoke to the fig tree, right? You know Jesus talked to a tree?
Yeah.
I'm going to write a book about that someday. Jesus talked to a tree. Jesus talked to the wind. Jesus talked to limbs. People's limbs. Okay? And he showed us how we're to operate in this. We're supposed to speak to the mountain. So I looked at this growth right here, because this is, like I said, this is about 10 years ago. And I said, I curse you in the name of Jesus. I command you to dry up from the root in Jesus' name right now. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be cast into the sea. I looked at it and it's still there. All right? And I had this thought come to me. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. The next day, I looked at it and the devil said to me again, there it is again. It didn't get it. In fact, it looks like it's bigger. This tumor on my wrist. Now, I never went and got it checked out. I never went to the doctor. I would have if the Lord told me to do that, but I didn't. All right? And so this went on for several weeks, and it didn't look like it was getting any smaller. It looked like it was getting bigger. Like, in other words, it looked like nothing happened. I'm driving down. I don't know why it is, but God always speaks to me in my car. I'm driving. I know exactly this spot. I was in where my house is. I'm driving down the road, and the Lord says, why don't you laugh at it? I heard the Lord say that to me. Why don't you laugh at it? Now, that sounds crazy. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're foolishness unto him. Right? But the Holy Ghost inside me says, why don't you laugh at it, Brother Keith? You teach other people to do that. Why don't you do that? Now, he didn't condemn me over that. He just said, why don't you laugh at it? Okay? Okay, here we go. Roll the sleeve up. Driving down the road. Keeping your eyes on the road, of course. And I go, ha, 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 ha. And then the devil said, you just made a fool of yourself. Now listen, there's no one else around, okay? You don't do this in front of people. They'll take you away in a paddy wagon somewhere and lock you up, okay? They don't understand that. The Bible says if you have faith, have it before God, okay? Have it before God. Well, the Lord, he spoke to. He said, why don't you laugh at it? And I guess it was sort of pitiful at first because I went, ha, 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 ha. He said, come on, you can do better than that. Did you ever have a belly laugh before? I mean, where you're like, oh. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. A merry heart, a happy heart doeth good like a medicine. It releases endorphins, whatever those are. Healthy endorphins. Like spiritual dolphins or something, you know? You know? Well, I looked at that thing and I said, hey, hello. I said, glory to God. I started thanking you, Lord. Lord, I prayed for that thing, Lord. Now, Lord, I'm going to thank you for that right now. Instead of getting in unbelief and say, let's call the prayer tower. Let's call Channel 40. Let's call Tulsa. Let's get them praying. No, I already prayed in faith. I don't need to have 50 people praying for this thing. You just need one person that can believe in faith. Start with yourself. So I said, ha, 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 ha. The next day I got up, it was still there. The next week, it was still there. 2 weeks later, it's still there. But guess what? Brother Keith is laughing. I didn't do it in front of any person. I didn't even do it in front of Lynn. I did it in the car before God. Ha, ha, ha. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Well, a few weeks later, we took a little walk. It was getting towards dusk at night. We're in our neighborhood, and we have a little wooden bench that we had in our front yard. It would barely fit the four of us. Okay, and it was a beautiful night, stars were out, I mean, the moon was almost full, a beautiful night, you know, one of those summer nights, you know, and I'd been laughing at that thing in my private time every day. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Father, you heard me. Glory to God. Just getting excited about it, you know. While we're sitting on this bench at night, we're just, as a family, we're sitting there, we're enjoying ourselves, you know, and we're sitting there, and I put this hand on it right here. And quietly, the family didn't, they were right, we were right next to each other. They didn't even know I was saying this. But under my breath, I said, oh, thank you, Father. I'm healed. By your stripes, I'm healed. Thank you, Father. And all of a sudden, it was like a balloon popped. And I felt it. My hand was on it like this. And all of a sudden, it went down to nothing. Instantly. I mean, like that. I mean, it was like you popped a balloon. And by that time, it's almost dark. And so I said to my kids, Josh remembers this, Kelly remembers this, Lynn remembers this. And I said, do you want to see a miracle right now? Well, yeah, what do you mean? I said, let me show you my wrist. So we went into the foyer, the small entryway of our house at that time, flicked the light switch on. I said, looky there. You remember that, Josh, don't you? Completely gone. The kids are like, wow. Because they saw it there. I mean, I didn't even want to wear short sleeves because it, you know, wear sleeves you can cover up with long sleeves. You know what I'm saying? And I said, look at there. It's gone. Amen? Now, I had no special feeling or goosebump or anything when that happened. The time that I got excited was in the car when I started laughing at that thing. And here's what the Lord showed me. Because that thing was starting to bring care on me. And here's what the Lord showed me. He said, if you hadn't laughed at that thing would still be there. If you hadn't laughed at it. Now, I didn't feel like laughing. Are you kidding me? There's nothing funny. But it's an act. We're talking about doing the word, right? When you laugh at your enemy, you're intimidating the enemy. Okay? And so what the Lord showed me, he says, if you wouldn't have laughed at that thing, that was your releasing your faith by doing that. And not letting that thing control my emotions, my will, my thoughts. Okay? If I hadn't have done that, that thing wouldn't have disappeared. Now, I felt led to share that with you this morning here because we're going to close here. Because no matter what has developed in your life at this point that has brought any type of fear to you, fear about your future, what's going to happen 2 years down the road, a year down the road. You know, a lot of times young people like to they worry about their mate, who's going to be my mate, you know, and the dangerous thing is trying to take things into your own hands, trying to make things happen yourself. It's better to trust God. If you trust God, you're going to have the right connections. I'm telling you right now. And so the sustaining power of God will only go to work for those that give their burdens to the Lord and cast their cares upon Him. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times I need to go back and hear these same messages over and over again because things will come up, things happen, different circumstances. But the Lord does not want you, listen to me very carefully, He does not want you laying your head down at night being full of fear and afraid of how things are going to work out. How's that bill going to be paid? How's that child going to be, how are they going to turn around? How are they going to be straightened out? And the problem is when you try to be Holy Ghost Junior and you try to be their conviction and you try to be their, you know what I'm saying? All right, Lord, I think you need some help here. I think I'll step in here. And that's usually when things really get messed up. They really do. We try to be the Holy Spirit. No. We make a poor Holy Spirit. Amen. We were never designed. We were never graced to do that. Amen. But when we cast our cares upon the Lord. My dad in the natural, you know, he's in heaven now. But he had a certain gifting on him that he was just a Mr. Fix-It. And when I was growing up as a young kid, you know, I'd break some stuff, you know. But I was never hesitant to bring it to him because you remember him, Shar. And he was just a blue-collar worker, you know, just was good with his hands, you know, just could fix almost anything. Now, it may not look real pretty after he did it. Remember some of the stuff he fixed? It's like, I should have left it broken, you know. It was like nails sticking out of the side or something, you know. But he could... But I, as a child, you know, I wouldn't be hesitant about my bicycle chain would fall off or something would happen. Dad, could you fix this? Sure. He would fix it. He could just do anything, you know. Now, I wish I would have inherited some of that grace, but I didn't, you know. If the car needs fixed, Pastor, no, I'm just kidding. But she, you know, I was not graced in those areas, you know. But my point being is this, is I had a confidence with my dad, my earthly dad, that when something would break in my life, that it was a part of me, I would take it to him and he would fix it, okay? And especially anything with engines or motors, like small engines and stuff, he was so good at that stuff, you know. And I was just clueless about that. And even as after we got married, you know, I would inherit like a used lawnmower from him, you know, and every once in a while it would break down. I said, Dad, I need you, you know, can you fix this? Yep, bring it over, you know. And so I had confidence in his natural ability to fix these things, okay. But we have a God, we have a Father that knows how to fix everything, not just some things, everything. He knows how to fix broken relationships. He knows how to fix broken bodies. He knows how to fix your finances. He knows how to fix everything in your life that bring concern and worry to you. The Father loves you so much. And He cares for you so much that He says, son, daughter, give that care to me. I'm able to work that. I'm able to fix that. I'm able to work on that when you're sleeping at night. Because I neither sleep nor slumber. Amen. And I feel an anointing right now that from the Lord that is lifting burdens off of you right now. And He's removing it. He's not just lifting it and then letting go. It falls right back on you. He's lifting it up and He's removing it. And your cares are upon the Lord. And when your cares are upon the Lord, when that thought comes to you, oh, how's that going to work out? You say, nope, devil, I don't have that care. I cast that on the Lord. If you want to talk to anybody, you go to God and talk about it, because I don't have that care. I refuse to take that care. And I'm telling you, He'll tuck His tail between His legs and hightail out of there, because there's nothing He can do. He can't devour you apart from fear. Stop and think about that for a minute. The only avenue that the devil has is fear. That's his only weapon that he has. So you might feel fear. You might have thoughts of fear. We all do. I still do too. But do you meditate on those things? Or do you say, no, that's not my thought. That's not my thought. You could be driving home today and the thought comes to you, yeah, you're not going to make it this month. Something's going to happen to you. You could say out loud, that's not my thought. I won't take that. That's why Jesus said, take no thought saying. That's how you take a thought. You say it. Mm-hmm. Take no thought signing the package. Take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? The things that concern you. Did you get anything out of this morning? Yeah. All right, let's do what we just heard right now, and then we'll leave. Amen? Think about for a minute the thing primarily, it might be one or two things, but there's one thing in particular that's, as of late, has brought concern and worry and fear to you. If you want to just write it down, go ahead and do that too. On the back of your bulletin or something, just go ahead and write it down, or if you know what it is. And we're going to give this thing to the Lord right now. When He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, He meant that. Because He'll take that burden from you and then you can enjoy life. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. What is that concern in your life? What is that worry? Are you worried about your body? Are you worried about your son or your daughter? What is it that you're concerned about? What is it that you're worried about? We're going to take that care right now. We're going to give it to the Lord. We're going to cast that care upon the Lord together. And when we do, He will exalt you. He will lift you up. Now say this after me. Let's pray this together, and then we're going to release it to the Lord. Father,
I bring my cares
all my cares,
all my cares
before you.
Before you.
As I've seen,
as I've
heard
in your word today,
I am to cast
these burdens,
and these worries,
and
these concerns
over on you.
So I give to you
all of my cares.
Right now,
I
cast them on you.
In the name of Jesus,
I refuse to worry
or be anxious
about anything. Now lift your hands. Just picture the Lord now just taking that. Lift up your hand. He's now taking that. He's taking that. He's taking that care. He's taking that worry. He's taking that anxiety. He's working it out. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we rejoice. Oh, yes, Lord. We rejoice, Lord. We rejoice, Lord. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory be to God. We worship you, Father.